Amen. Am I on this morning? Am I on, actually? There we go. Okay, I can hear myself now. All right, thank you for that special, Miss Denise. What, leave our burdens there at the cross. Why wouldn't we do that? That goes along with our message this morning. Thank you for that song, Miss Denise. Just before we start, I just want to say I'm so glad to be back here in Louisiana. And in light of Thanksgiving, I have a lot to be thankful for, and I know we do as well. But something that I learned at college this semester is that I can be thankful for COVID this year. I know COVID ruined a lot of our plans that we had this summer and this fall, spring time, and this Thanksgiving. A lot of us are told we can't have a lot of people at our house. And in California, Gavin Newsom says no more than 10 people, no singing. I don't know what songs we'd sing at Thanksgiving, but he said we can't do that. We have to wear masks everywhere. Take your mask off like this, eat a bite, put it back on. That's what it's like in California. But people can still be thankful even in situations like that. One thing I'm thankful for at school is our staff. At West Coast, there's a lot of restrictions as far as teachers wearing masks. There's one class that I take. It's called Romans with Dr. Lee. And he's this Korean man. He grew up in Korea and he immigrated over here. And he teaches one of our classes. But Dr. Lee is very following the rules type of guy, and he wears masks everywhere. But I walk into class, and I see that he walks into class, and he's wearing a mask, and he's got a briefcase with him. He takes his mask off. I'm thinking, okay, I kind of like this. Maybe this isn't so bad a guy after all. And he opens his briefcase, and he brings out a bandana, and he ties the bandana around his head. And then he continues to put his mask on. So he's got two masks on. And I said, okay, whatever. And then he pulls out of his briefcase one of those face shield things. And then he puts it on. So he has three masks over his face. And at that point, I scoot towards the front row because I couldn't hear him by that time. He had no microphone. And the whole time, it was just, I couldn't hear him. Nobody could hear him in the class. He didn't have any notes. All we could do was strain our ears to hear this guy. He spoke broken English. I love him, but he was hard to understand. And so there in the front row, I fell asleep in the first day of class. Not proud of myself, but I still have a lot to be thankful for because we're still able to have class at West Coast and we're still able to function at the Bible college even with all the restrictions. Right now, I'm taking classes online because they let us go early. I'm here till December 29th and I'm loving my time back. I don't have to wear a mask everywhere I go. So praise the Lord for that. All right, I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Now, at West Coast, we have a lot going on. We have classes, I have work, and I have a lot of things on my plate. But one of the things that they always push us to be is focused on what we're supposed to be focused on. And today, we're going to look at where our treasure is. So in Matthew 6, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And now look at verse 21, this is going to be our theme verse. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's open up in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to come into your house and to worship today. Dear God, I pray that everything that's done and said this morning will be for your honor and glory. I thank you for this special. I thank you that we have the ability to come to you and lay our burdens to you, dear God. I know this year we may have a lot of burdens, dear God, but I pray that you just help us to see where our treasure should be this morning, what we should be focusing on and what we should not be focusing on. I pray that you just be with us this morning, and I ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Where is your treasure this morning? We're going to talk about two contrasting points in the Bible. One is what the world thinks is important, and that's what the Bible refers to as vanity. The second point that we're going to talk about is what God says is important, which the Bible refers to, what we just read, is treasures in heaven. There are so many things going on right now that are kind of pulling and tugging for our attention and focus. But if we don't look through things with a biblical perspective, we're going to get lost. We need God's word to discern what's real and what's simply just wasting our time and quite possibly our testimony and our witness for Christ. How do we know which things are important in this life and what things are in vanity? look, I understand we're not robots. We all have different hobbies. We all have things we like to have fun with and entertain in our lives. But at what point does too much of something divert our focus from what's important? And what becomes vanity? These are questions we need to ask ourselves. And what better time than in the midst of a pandemic in the last days of 2020? This morning, we're all going to have a little self-evaluation of our priorities, not only for tomorrow and the start of a new week, not only for the remainder of the new year, but for the rest of our lives. All right, I only have two quick points this morning. Point number one is, what is vanity and why waste my time on it? What is vanity? Vanity in Webster's Dictionary is defined as a fruitless desire or an endeavor. Do you ever get the feeling at the end of a day that you'd wasted time? That you really didn't get anything accomplished? In life, and especially in quarantine, I was quarantined, it's easy to waste time. Even though we can feel like we have so much on our plates. This is what happens to me at college a lot. This is kind of a normal week schedule if I'm not careful. I wake up in the morning and I have time of fellowship with my favorite person in the morning. That's the snooze button. I press it 5 more times and I sleep for 10 minutes. Oops, it's 7:12. My first hour is at 7:15. I got to get dressed. I got to take a shower. I got to shave and get to class. Guess I'll read my Bible. I'll read my Bible after chapel. Chapel comes. Chapel's over. My buddies want to go play basketball or go to Walmart or study. Dinner comes around and I want to hang out with my girlfriend till curfew or have to work that night till 11. I get back to my dorm, make sure all my guys are in bed, do my dorm cleaning assignments, and then I go to bed myself because I am tired. Sounds like a normal day for me, right? Wait a minute. Where's my time of devotions? Where's my time that I go over a prayer list and pray? None of those things were necessarily bad that I was focusing on. I had responsibilities, but all of it came first before God, and that's not good. That's not good. We need to have a personal time each and every day to pray and to read our Bible, to worship God and thank Him for what He's done for us, either that day or that week. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if we got to the end of this year and felt like it was wasted? I again pose the question. Why are we wasting our time on vanity? None of these things that occupy our time are necessarily bad in our lives. But if our heart isn't fixed on what matters, it's vanity. What's more important to you than your walk with God? Let's take a look at Solomon's experience in Ecclesiastes. If you turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and I will get there myself when I do. Solomon was the wisest man in the Bible. God gifted him with wisdom and the knowledge to discern things. But even Solomon had trouble with vanity. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1 says this. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. This is talking about Solomon. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit hath the man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Skip down to verse 12 in the same chapter. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate. I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart hath great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth in knowledge increaseth sorrow. I think it's safe to say that at this point Solomon was a pessimist. I mean, what a bleak outlook on life that Solomon had. Nearing the end of his life, Solomon had chased after everything that was under the sun. He chased popularity. He chased money. He chased sexual pleasures. He chased it all. But the things that he neglected to seek out were the things that he needed and desired most in his life. Of all the world had to offer him, nothing satisfied. Nothing satisfied. That's why the book of Proverbs is written. He wrote this book to his son to warn him of the vanities in life that distracted him from being truly happy and possessing real joy. It only left him broken and empty, longing for more, wishing that he had a second chance to get his priorities straight. But just like Solomon to his son, our Heavenly Father wrote and preserved his word for us through the Bible to be saved and to have life and to have it everlasting. And that's why it's so important to be in our Bible. It's kind of like it's a handbook for us to live out our life, to live it to the fullest. We're going to look at a couple of signs that our priorities are not where they should be. Letter A is our first sign, dissatisfied. When we chase after this thing and that, when we're so busy making sure that we have the right looking clothes and that we're working on our own self-image, we find ourselves too busy for God. We leave no time for Him in our schedule. We're too busy to pray, and we're too busy to read in His Word, and we're too busy to help our church out in certain events. You know what it sounds like to me? I'll tell you what that is. That's selfishness. Oh yeah, Christians can get selfish. You don't have to tell me twice. I already know. But our priorities are messed up if we think that as long as we fulfill our desires, as long as I get what I want, and as long as I feel happy at the end of the day, that's going to bring me joy. Because that's not how it works. Surely we don't expect to go to church and get our 1 hour dose of religion and then turn around and ask God to bless our lives. It's not going to happen. God doesn't want your religion. He wants a relationship with you. Amen? Yeah. You say, wow, Jeremiah, they taught you that at Bible college. They taught you that phrase to get you all fired up. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's from God's Word. This is God's Word, and I'm going to preach it this morning. That's what it says. The Bible says that if you seek God, He will seek after you. It doesn't say, God, I'm going to pray to you and I want you to draw closer to me. It says, draw nigh to God and He will draw closer to you. That's how it works. Religion leaves us dissatisfied. Only a relationship with God restores peace and joy in our life. Point number two, apathetic. Sooner or later, that feeling of knowing we wasted time goes away. When we start neglecting our prayers, when we start neglecting our personal time with God, the devil makes it easier and easier to do it again. The Bible says that God is light, and in Him is no darkness. The farther we get away from the priorities that God wants us to focus on, the farther we get from light. The farther we get from the light, because God is light. It's like when you go down a super dark cave. You're kind of scared at first. You're wondering, what's happening? Where'd all the light go? I'm not used to this. I don't like this. Where'd the light go? You're looking for it. Eventually, your eyes start to adjust and you stop caring a little bit more. You start to be able to see the rocks around you and you're feeling around. You say, okay, I'm a little more comfortable with this. People who are stuck down in the cave for days can start to see without any form of light at all. Their eyes adjust to be able to see in the darkness. And they're used to it. They come out, their eyes are going to start hurting. They don't want to come out. That's kind of like how it is in our walk with God. The further away we get from the light, the more used we are to darkness. I've seen students at West Coast that got so apathetic to the mission, to the purpose of why God had brought them there, that they start skipping church on Sunday to get a little extra sleep. They maybe come to a soul-winning meeting on Saturday morning just to be counted on the roster as there, but then they'd go back and sleep for a little bit or go to lunch. And they completely forfeit all their duties while they're there. These guys weren't one-year students. They were studying to be pastors, and they were studying to be evangelists. And either one or two things happened to them. Either one, they dropped off the radar and was not a vessel fit for the service of God. Or another thing happened, they got right with God. I don't want us to drop off the map as we get close to 2021. I'm sorry. It's crazy to think about, right? But we're nearing the end, and we have to finish strong. This can't be a time to slack on our responsibilities that God has given us. Point number two, what are treasures in heaven? What are they? That's the whole reason we're here this morning is to learn. Philippians 4:8 in your Bible. Just turn there with me. Philippians 4, verse 8. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Because God shows us His heart for what's important to Him. In your Bible, Philippians 4:8 says this: "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." When God is telling us to think on these things, He wants us to seek after these things. He literally wants us to be honed in on these things. It's like the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering. God wants us to be not only familiar with these, but He wants us to be part of these. He wants these to be part of our daily lives. These need to be part of our daily lives in order for us to succeed. Whatsoever things are true. I think the Bible is true. Focus on our devotional time. Focus on our prayer time and talk to God. I don't ever want to be relying on the opinion of my neighbors, the information of my friends, or God forbid, the news outlets of today to realize what real truth is. I want to be able to look into my Bible, the one that I'm holding in my hands, the one that you're holding in your hands. It's a perfectly inspired and preserved Word of God. I want to be able to look at that and be able to tell what's truth and what's not. Why would we ever rely on a secondary source when we have God's Word with us? Second thing, whatsoever things are honest and just. We need to show character and integrity, something that is so lacking in our world today, and something that is needed so much. It is our duty as Christians to have integrity in every little thing we do. At my college in California, the West Coast students get hired very quickly in the Antelope Valley. Because the employers at the restaurants, they know of West Coast's testimony. And they know that the students that come from West Coast are going to show integrity. They're not going to cheat in their job. They're not going to take shortcuts. They're going to try and honor the Lord in whatever they do. They're going to show integrity and character. And that's attractive to people, even at a restaurant, even in a secular restaurant atmosphere. It's just integrity is appealing to the world. It's something that's needed, something that's lacking, though. Third thing, whatsoever things are pure. I'm not preaching against movie theaters at all, but there ought to be a line drawn as to the movies we watch in our world today. There ought to be a knowledge inside of us to be able to discern what is good and what's bad, to be able to discern if a movie is helping us, if it's merely just as an entertainment, or if it's hurting us. We need to keep our lives and our hearts, our homes, our families pure for the work of Jesus Christ. God doesn't want to use a disgusting vessel for Him. He wants us to be pure for His service. And that's something we get hammered a lot in Bible college, and I'll notice it in my own life. I'm one of the dorm supervisors in our dorm, Heritage 2. And there's about 36 guys in my dorm, and there's a dorm soup. There's two dorm soups, myself and my other friend. But every weekend on Friday night, we get to have a dorm devotional time. And we'll do stupid things. We'll play games, and we'll have all kinds of announcements and food and stuff. But at the end of it, we get to give a little devotion to our guys. And my dorm soup and I will take turns. But I'll notice that when it's my turn to preach, and when I've been skipping out on my duties, and when I've been skipping out on God's Word, that I'm missing something very important. And I'm missing the power of God in my life. I'm missing the power of God when I preach. I'll open up every service in prayer. I'll say, "Dear God, I recognize that the most lonely place that I could be is behind this pulpit where You're not in it. And I don't want to be like that ever again." Each time I have that feeling, it just disgusts me inside. I feel like I'm not fit to preach. I feel like the guys are not getting what God showed me, what God wants them to get through me. And I don't want to ever feel like that. We have to keep our hearts and our lives pure. Fourth thing, whatsoever things are lovely. Just be a kind person. Just focus on making someone's day, expecting nothing in return. We as Christians should be a delight to come in contact with and a delight to talk to. Every Saturday we get to have a soul-winning outreach meeting. And with COVID right now, you know, it's a little different. We can't exactly go door-to-door knocking and giving people tracts and inviting them to church. So what we'll do is we'll have these Love Works projects. Sometimes a couple of groups will go out and we'll have water bottles and we'll put tracks around them. And we'll go to parks and local areas, shopping centers. Sometimes it's pretty hot in the day, especially around August, September, October. It gets to about 100 degrees in Lancaster. And so we'll walk around We'll have our masks on because we have to. We'll have the gloves on. And we'll offer people water bottles. Oftentimes, they'll take it, no questions asked. And then they'll see the tract that's laced around it, and they'll start reading it. And then oftentimes, they'll come ask us about our church, and they say, what church is this? And that gives you such a good opportunity to witness to them and to talk to them about church. One opportunity that we have is to take yard equipment, lawn equipment, and we'll go and find literally the worst house neighborhood that looks the worst outside, and we'll offer to clean up their yard free of charge. And people come to us and they say, there's no way that's free of charge. What are you talking about? And there'll be five or six of us who say, yeah, it's free of charge. Just sit in your house and let us take care of your yard for you. And they'll let us do it. So about an hour later, we'll knock on their door and we say, how does it look? And I'm not a professional, so it doesn't look that good, but it looks better than it was. And they'll thank us for it. They'll offer us money. And we don't expect anything in return. We just ask that we are able to talk to them for just 2 short minutes. And we try and share the gospel with them. And it's a lot easier than knocking on the door and having a shot rocket right back in your face. You're doing something for them. And in return, they want to listen to you. They want to find out, why are these people coming out here in the midst of COVID, sacrificing their time for us? We're just trying to be lovely people. We're trying to be friendly and kind and show the love of Christ to them. The last thing, letter E, whatsoever things are of a good report. This year, it's been busy. It's been crazy. Times are tough, I understand. Toilet paper shortages everywhere. Hope that's passed already. I don't know. At West Coast, we stocked up on about 100 rolls of toilet paper in the storage closets everywhere. So we're kind of preparing for another one, I guess, another lockdown in California. But around that time, this is a perfect time for us as a church to show a good report for Christ. We need to make sure that all these things that we have, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest and just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, these need to be in our report. We need to have a good report to our community and to our state as Christians, to our neighborhoods. As a church, we need to be a light to the world right now. We need to be a help in our community, and we need to be something that is positive, something that's optimistic, something that's, it's not false optimism. We're not saying that, oh yeah, COVID's going to go away tomorrow. You got, your grandma has COVID, she's going to be perfectly fine. You don't have to worry about it. We don't have to tell people that, but there is a hope that is within us, and that's Jesus Christ, and we need to be sharing that with everyone we come into contact with. We need to find ways to do it. I know it's hard. But we need to find ways to do it. We just have to be a good testimony for Jesus Christ. Hopefully our testimony will show the love of Christ to them. God shows us in His Word, that we're to focus on things that are a treasure to God. He tries to discern for us what things are treasures and what things are vanities. And we have several opportunities to see that in His Word. But this morning, I hope we realize what things really are treasures and what things are vanities in our lives. For where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. As we close this morning, I pray that you'll just be able to evaluate your heart and this morning realize where your treasures are. Let's close in prayer. Dear God, I thank you for this opportunity, and I pray that something that was said this morning would be a hope and a blessing to somebody. But dear God, I also pray that you would step on a couple of our toes. Dear God, you don't step on our toes to hurt us. You step on our toes to move us. Dear God, your Spirit is working on us to be able to make us like you, to make us more like you, to help us to turn from our wicked ways. Dear God, there's nothing wicked in having something entertaining in our lives. But I pray that we'll be able to know and to discern what things are vanities in our lives. I pray that maybe it's that TV that's occupying our time away from you. Maybe it's our social media platforms that are taking away our time from you, dear God. Maybe it's something that's not even bad at all. Maybe it's our work. Maybe it's our relationship with our friends that's taking away our time from you. Dear God, during this COVID season, I pray that you would just help us to realize what's important in our lives. Help this church to realize what's important to us. Dear God, I pray that we won't back down from your great call in our lives. You have a call for each and every one of us. But dear God, during this time, I pray that you help us to see that. As we close in an invitation of prayer, if something was said this morning that spoke to your heart, would you raise your hand? Amen. I really hope that God is working in our hearts and lives right now. And as we go through, I pray that through the new year that we'll just be able to show the love of Christ. I pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.